Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Aqua Dogs, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host, Linda C., in the studio today for the second part of our April Animals article. It's not about aqua dogs, really. It's about hunting with dolphins. At least that's the title of the article. The subtitle is, A Florida Fisherman and Wild Dolphins Strike a Rare Balance in Nature. But I think you could have rephrased that subtitle, Linda, to A Florida Fisherman and Wild Dolphins Make a Deal to Hunt Together, right?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Yeah, they are working together. They have this relationship we learned yesterday that has taken many years to form.
Yeah.
And so they have this bond, they have this trust between them so that they can work together to catch as many fish as they can.
That's right. And the way this relationship works is actually the root of that term I used in the introduction, aqua dogs. That's what the...
I say aqua dogs.
You say aqua?
Yes.
Oh, how strange. Anyway.
It's your Canadian.
Water dogs. We could say water dogs, yes, because these water dogs... Now, there's basically a fishing charter boat, meaning you can rent this boat and go out on the boat to go fishing, you know, with a group of friends or whatever. So this captain of a charter boat, over the last 10, 11, 12 years, there have been dolphins that have slowly joined the boat. But not just to eat the fish. They've started working with the boat to sort of perform the role that hunting dogs sort of traditionally perform, right?
Well, they get to eat the fish that are stunned or dazed by
the
boat lights.
Here.
Yes, yeah. The aqua dogs. And they also help the fishermen to catch or to shoot their arrows at the fish because the dolphins are driving the fish into shallower waters.
Yeah, they bring the fish to the boat, basically. Right? So they'll swim out and sort of surround and scare groups of fish sort of towards the boat in the shallow water, both because it's easier for the dolphins to get the fish when the fish enter that light and are stunned. But, you know, the consequence of that is that the people on the boat also have an easier time to catch the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a rare, yeah, it was described as uncommon. Right,
for them to work together like this, to have this trust or bond.
This partnership, yeah. Like right
wild,
now.
Wild, because they're wild dolphins.
Yeah, they're not trained like hunting dogs, which are domesticated and live with people. These are wild. But, you know, we don't usually see this sort of thing. I mean, right now off the coast of Europe, there's whales that are bumping boats, right?
Hmm.
You've heard about that news story if you follow this sort of thing. People don't really know why.
And I don't blame the whales.
They're just not happy with the boats.
That's their way of letting the boats know that, you know, they're not happy with them.
Yeah. So nonetheless, we have this unique situation evolving. If you have your April magazine, I would encourage you to open it up and join us for our animals article. We're, of course, on the second day, and we're going to do two readings. And I believe, if I am not incorrect, Linda, you are doing the reading for us,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
All right, everybody, let's join Linda and do our first reading together now.
Experts think Diamond's case may be the first recorded example in the U.S. of wild dolphins using bright lights from a bow fishing boat to aid their hunt. I'm just so happy to see them every day, Diamond says. I've been watching these generations grow up. The first few years, the dolphins hung around. Diamond says he found them to be a nuisance. They'd dart by sporadically, stir up the seafloor, and scare fish from his spots. As the bond blossomed, though, he came around. He realized they were an asset, not a pest. others told him the relationship with the animals could be something special. So in 2023, he emailed experts, inviting them to witness the dolphins' behavior. At first, it was hard for scientists to believe, he says. He emailed Stephanie Gazda, founder of the Cedar Key Dolphin Project, a nonprofit that tracks, studies, and rescues bottlenose dolphins along the nature coast. At the time, Gazda says she was preoccupied with the rescue of a dolphin calf, but her interest was piqued.
All right, so Linda, you are from Florida. This story is set in Florida. Are dolphins a common thing in Florida?
I mean, dolphins are around. I haven't really seen that many wild dolphins, like when I've gone on boat rides. So I wouldn't say that they are a regular sighting, but they are there. You probably have to go deeper out into the ocean in order to see them.
I mean, it is pretty common to go whale watching, for it to be like a big tourist thing. Right?
In Florida, not so much. The whales don't make it as far.
It's not part of their annual tour or their range or whatever.
They don't usually come to, they definitely don't go to the Gulf of Mexico because it's more insular. So I don't think I've ever heard of sightings of whales in the Gulf of Mexico. But okay. Dolphins, that would be something that you see, but you'd probably have to go in a boat and like go a little further out. They're not going to be like visible from the coastline or anything like that.
Okay, so picking up with your reading here, our reading actually picks up from yesterday, because in yesterday they were basically emphasizing how rare this situation is, that the dolphins and the fishermen are working together in a mutually beneficial way. You can sort of foresee a situation in which the dolphins might follow the fishing boats to get fish. You might foresee a situation in which, the fishing boats follow the dolphins to figure out where the fish are going or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of them working together was kind of rare. And that theme is again picked up here, where we say experts think Diamond's case may be the first recorded example in the U.S. of wild dolphins using bright light from a bow fishing boat to aid their hunt. We should note here that word is bow fishing boat. There's a similar word in nautical terminology,
yes.
Marine terminology, the bow of the boat.
Right, which is the front of the boat.
The front of the boat. But this is not a bow fishing boat.
No.
This is bow fishing because they're using a bow and arrow.
Correct.
To catch the fish. You sort of shoot the fish with an arrow attached to a line and then pull it in. So this is the first example of wild dolphins using a bow fishing boat to aid their hunt. Makes that sentence is ambiguous in many ways. It makes me wonder if there are examples of dolphins using other kinds of fishing boats.
Yes, it's very specific.
For this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It also says first recorded example, which might mean this is fairly common, but the fishermen rarely report it to the experts at the university. It's hard to say. There's a lot of ambiguity.
Who knows? It might have happened, but yeah, it wasn't recorded before.
Yeah. But nonetheless, we get this comment from our charter boat captain, Diamond. His name was Justin Diamond, actually. And he says,
I'm just so happy to see them every day. He's been watching them. He's been watching generations grow up.
Yeah. So they come, they bring their babies. The babies grow up. Oh, my goodness. Just like watching children.
Yeah.
In a neighborhood.
So he's really bonded with them. They're in addition to being his aqua dogs, they're like his friends.
They're lucky. They're lucky they didn't get shot with arrows based on that second paragraph, hey? Because it says the first few years the dolphins hung around, Diamond says he found them to be a nuisance.
Right.
What's a nuisance?
So a nuisance is someone or something that is annoying, that is problematic. Like they just bother you or they create problems.
Yeah. So why, what were they doing that was so troublesome? Well, they would dart by sporadically. Dart means suddenly move very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Dart by, presumably they're going by the boat here.
Right.
And sporadically basically means from time to time, but you can't predict when it's going to happen.
It's very irregular.
So unexpectedly. And when they would do this darting, they would stir up the seafloor. basically, you know, cause the sand or whatever to sort of go up into the water, making it hard to see, but also scaring the fish from his fishing spots.
Yes, so that they would definitely be a nuisance if they were doing that.
Don't worry, you guys. I have a great fishing spot I'm going to take you to. Get your bows ready. Oh, look. There's a bunch of dolphins scaring all the fish away.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Annoying. I'll take you to another secret spot. Oh, look. The dolphins are here, too. You can sort of see this being troublesome for a charter boat captain. But gradually, their bond grew. The relationship blossomed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a flower that is growing and coming to show the flower. Though, he came around, so he started to realize that something else was going on here. What was going on, Linda?
Well, he realized that they were an asset, not a pest. So they weren't annoying anymore. He started to see them in a different light, and that's what it means to come around to something. He changed his mind about the dolphins.
Yeah. So what did he do? Well, he wanted to figure out what was going on here, why they were behaving the way they did. And so he emailed experts. This is in 2023.
Right. It's after people told him. He probably first complained about the dolphins. And then when he realized that they were an asset, like he started to tell other fishermen, other people about his interaction with the dolphins. And they're like, oh, this is special.
This has been going on a long time, though. One of the dolphins we were introduced to yesterday had been following his boat for 11 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so for most of that time, he sort of viewed them as a nuisance. And then he emailed these experts in 2023. And what happened? Well, the scientists didn't really believe him. He emailed somebody, you read this name before, Stephanie Gazda?
Yes.
Okay, and she is the founder of Cedar Key Dolphin Project, which is a nonprofit that tracks, studies, and rescues bottlenose dolphins along the Nature Coast. Now, where is the Nature Coast?
So it is along the west central coast of Florida. So this is where the Gulf of Mexico is, and it's known for its rich natural environment and abundant wildlife.
Do you have any idea why the bottlenose dolphins need rescuing along this nature coast?
They might be injured by boats, or they might need rescuing for other reasons.
Is there a lot of fishing in nets?
That's
in that
true
sort
too.
Of area?
Yes, they might get caught in fishermen's nets, and so
there was a scandal for many years associated with tuna fishing and dolphins, right?
Oh yes, yeah, that trapped a lot of dolphins. Poor dolphins would get stuck in the nets, and they couldn't get out.
In North America, when you buy a can of tuna, it's often labeled, what is the wording of it?
Like dolphin safe or
dolphin free? No, it can't be dolphin
no,
free.
No, cruelty free or like, yeah.
Dolphin safe tuna, something like that. It's been caught without being a danger to the dolphins. So presumably there are things, you know, the interactions between human fishermen and dolphins are not always smooth, right? I guess that's the idea. So they got in contact, and at the time, Gazda says she was preoccupied with the rescue of a dolphin calf.
A baby dolphin.
Oh, why do they call it a calf?
Yes. So, like, similar to cows, the baby is called a calf.
Often, we use this terminology when we're talking about herbivores, right?
Herbivores.
Oh, stop. Stop with the American pronunciations. The bull, the cow, and the calf, right? We use this with things like buffalo, with various other herbivores. But dolphins are not plant eaters.
No,
they're
not.
So it's kind of interesting that we use this language for them. Nonetheless, this is how we describe a young dolphin. So she was trying to rescue that, but her interest was, you want to pronounce this in your American way?
Peaked. Don't you say it the same way?
Peaked.
Oh, my goodness.
Peaked. I'm being difficult here. I could say peaked, too.
Right. But when someone's interest is peaked, or if you pique someone's interest,
You're not looking at them with your eyes.
No, you make them feel interested or curious about something or someone.
But it sounds like you're peaking, which means like you're supposed to have your eyes closed, but you're looking secretly. P-E-A-K. P-E-E-K. P-E-A-K is the top of a mountain,
right,
isn't it?
Right. So there are different spellings to peak, but this is P-I-Q-E.
So it attracted her interest. Mm-hmm. That's essentially it. And obviously, she decided to look into it. We'll get into that in our next reading. Linda, take it away.
Raising awareness. In August 2023, Gazda ventured into the Gulf with Diamond for the first time. That first night was eye-opening, she remembers. The dolphins arrived at the boat right after the lights came on, and they stuck around for several hours. There's something here, Gazda thought at the time. This has potential. 2 years later, and the Cedar Key Dolphin Project is all in. A handful of researchers boarded Diamond's boat to observe this unique behavior. Will this hunting behavior carry forward to future generations? In April, when calves are typically born, Diamond said he will see moms sometimes bring their babies by his boat. They swim on the outskirts of the group for a few hours at a time. And Diamond likes to think these moms are giving their offspring a chance to observe other dolphins hunting. Overall, Diamond estimates he has spent more than 10,000 hours with the dolphins. This is a rare example of humans and wildlife working together.
All right, so this is under the title Raising Awareness, but that's not really how we start this reading, right? We start this reading with
Gazda?
Becoming aware.
Oh.
Or waking up to what's going on, right? Because what happens is in 2023, Gazda ventures into the Gulf. This is the same root word as for adventure. So she decides to go check out what's going on, and she goes out with Diamond for the first time. What happened?
So that first night was very eye-opening for her.
Yeah, she didn't fall asleep.
She did not, but she was very surprised and awed by what she saw. That's when the dolphins arrived at the boat right after the lights were turned on or flicked on, like we saw at the very beginning of the article yesterday. They came as soon as Diamond turned on the lights, and they stuck around for several hours, like we learned before. Like some would snack and then leave, but others stayed the entire time with Dylan because they're buds.
They're buds. Nuisance buds at this point, but still buds.
They're not nuisances anymore because
they're working together.
He
felt they were nuisances. Until,
before, for the first few years.
Yeah.
For the first few years.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, he's brought the experts in to sort of figure out what's going on. He isn't sold yet, I don't think, on their value.
No, I think he was.
You think he was? Maybe that's
why they brought
in the text.
They brought the researchers in because other people were saying like, oh, this is special. Like your bond with these dolphins are special.
Yeah, but I guess my point being, if you look at this timeline here, it's like dolphins are a nuisance. People on the boat say, hey, this is special. He thinks, I'm going to email some experts and find out what's going on. The experts come and they say, not, oh, this is the most, they say, there's something here. This has potential. So even the experts don't really know what's going on at this point.
Where they can't explain it because there's never been a recorded example of this. Like we learned that this is the first recorded example of, in the U.S. at least, of wild dolphins.
So in your understanding of this text, at what point does Diamond decide they are not a nuisance?
Well, after the first few years,
we
read that the bond blossomed. Like he saw that they weren't a nuisance. They weren't, that they could be an asset, that they could work together.
I don't know that that's clear in the text. I think we're reading this differently. So listeners, you are free to jump on our social media and weigh in here. Do you think Diamond knew these were valuable additions to his hunting group before the experts or more recently after the experts, based on your reading of it? That's a great question for the day. Nonetheless, our expert, her eyes are opened and she thinks this has potential. Now, when she says this has potential, it means this is potentially an interesting situation that is worth studying or looking into more, right? So 2 years later, and the Cedar Key Dolphin Project is all in. So they, over the last 2 years, they have very much become interested in this, right?
Yep, have done a lot more observation of this unique behavior.
A handful of researchers have boarded the boat to observe the unique behavior. So will this hunting behavior carry on to future generations?
Yeah, that's the question that they'd like to find out. And probably yes, because they are teaching the next generation what they're doing.
And there was some mention by Diamond of watching generations kind of grow up, right? So there is sort of this implication that this has been going on for more than one generation.
Right, and we find out more in the next paragraph. So the breeding takes place, and April is when the calves are born. So the babies are typically born in April, and Dylan has noticed that the mother dolphins will sometimes bring their baby dolphins by his boat.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if, because dolphins are very social, right? Mm-hmm. Like they travel in a group. But they don't necessarily remain with the group their whole lives. Like, you know, some dolphins will go and join other groups, or if the group gets too big, they'll split into different groups. I wonder if this is the sort of thing, maybe I am reading too much into dolphin behavior, but I wonder if this is the sort of knowledge that will spread around the dolphin community.
Yeah, it very well could. Yeah, because like you mentioned, they are social creatures.
Well, and they're bright,
they can
too.
Learn you know, like, from each other.
Dolphins are the they're the ones that use tools, right? I believe like sticks and stones and stuff as tools.
Yes, they're very smart.
So they are clearly learning and know what's going on. Okay, so.
And if it's beneficial information or behavior that they can pass on to their offspring and the next generation, then it makes sense that would happen.
All the better, right? So, I mean, he does sort of in his language here describe what does sound to my human ears kind of like a teaching situation. So, you know, when you want to teach your kid, the first thing you do is you introduce them to the idea, and then you go and watch it together or you look at it. And then maybe you get a little closer and you try it or you play, you know, sort of a gamified version of doing it, and then you try it for real. So you slowly introduce them to it. And they basically mention here that for a few hours at a time, they swim on the outskirts, kind of watching what's going on the edge of what's happening. And so Diamond likes to think these moms are giving their offspring a chance to observe other dolphins hunting.
Yeah.
Does kind of sound like that.
Yeah. I mean, you can learn a lot by observing. Is there an example you might have of something that you like doing or you have an interest and you've taken your kid to go observe so that maybe it piques their interest?
Though. I mean, you know, like my land, you know, you like dolphins, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I have learned a lot about in the last few years, I mean, certainly not an expert, but just as a passing interest, is apes, like chimpanzee behavior. And one of the things they struggle with is teaching future generations. Like there's sort of a block there where they're not able to sort of teach lessons. Like they're able to learn from observing, but they can't sort of convey knowledge the way people would, where we sort of tell them about it and they play it out in their heads. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to read too much into dolphin behavior and assume, you know, there's like a school somewhere with a, you know, that the dolphin named Crystal with the notch in her dorsal fin.
And she has a chalkboard, underwater
chalkboard.
Sitting
down the young ones with a stick in her mouth pointing at the diagram on the chalkboard. I don't want to assume too much here. It does say, though, that overall Diamond estimates he has spent more than 10,000 hours with the dolphins. This is a rare example of humans and wildlife working together. I really cannot think of any other examples of wildlife.
Yeah, that's the key thing. Wild animals or wildlife.
I mean, I guess the broader question, though, is are they really working together or is it just sort of a convenience? Like taking advantage of the situation. Like the dolphins are not bringing fish to the boat for the benefit of the fishermen on the boat. They're bringing them to the boat because when they bring them to the boat, they're stunned by the light. They're easier to catch and eat, right?
Yes. So like the dazed fish make easy prey, but they don't have to push the fish into shallow water. That's for the benefit of the fishermen.
Are you sure? Because I think pushing it towards the boat just means the fish gets stunned. It's hard to say. I suppose it's the sort of thing that's up for debate. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess effectively that's why Gazda said this has potential, right? We don't really know what's going on here. We can't read too much into it.
Yeah, that's true, because we can't read the minds of the dolphin. It could just be something that's mutually beneficial. Yeah. They're doing it for themselves, but at the same time, it helps the humans.
Yeah.
But it may not be doing it exclusively for the humans.
Because there are plenty of examples. The word that I'm thinking of here is symbiotic.
Right.
Or symbiosis. It's spelled with an S-Y. Symbiotic basically means two creatures are both doing their thing, but they're helping each other out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But whether or not there's sort of an intentional plan to help the other, or if it's just mutually convenient, is not very clear.
For, I think, most symbiotic relationships, it wouldn't be because they're actively trying to help the other thing or the other person. But in the case of the dolphins, because dolphins are so intelligent.
And they are special.
Yes.
Like there's stories about like, you know, people falling off boats mm-hmm. and drowning and mm-hmm. dolphins saving them.
Yes. So I think that is a much more likely theory scenario for dolphins to be helping the humans, to be doing this just for the humans' benefit.
Well, listeners, let us know what you think. Our social media is broadly available for your comment. We'd love to hear from you on your opinion of this matter. Unfortunately, we are coming to the end of our program for today, but we hope that you'll join us again soon for another Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.